Max and Diego, are you here?
Yes, we are here.
Okay, good, fine. All right, yeah. So in minus 2 seconds, you should share your slides and start talking.
All right. My colleague Diego will be sharing the slides. He will have the biggest fraction of today's presentation. I will keep it.
Can you see the slides?
Yes, perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. Great, thanks.
I will keep it rather short. So as you've heard from Herbert, we at Dectris have been hit with the tragic loss of our friend and colleague, Andreas, who after years of fighting, finally lost his battle against cancer in May of this year. And we are realizing now how much weight Andreas has actually carried, not only within Dectris, but also outside of Dectris, how much he has achieved in the past. And this leaves us not only with a lot of great memories about him, but also with personal and also some professional voids. Of course, with one of them being who will now continue our efforts in this HDRMX consortium. Take your next slide, please. Yes, so we've thought about that internally quite a bit, and we came up that in the future, we want to participate with two people that are probably best suited for this. And this is Diego Gempeler and myself. Diego is our product owner. That means that he leads the software team that writes all of the data interfaces and data code that runs on our detectors. So if there is anybody who knows most about our Stream 2, FileWriter 2, maybe with Albula now coming up, then Diego is really our expert for that. So it makes a lot of sense to have him here, really for the discussions at the expert levels. Yes, and I will also be joining as product manager for Synchrotron to simply be aware and contribute to all of the Beamline and application specific topics. I hope we can contribute. I don't think anybody is replaceable, but at least we will do our best efforts to follow the footsteps of Andreas. And with that, I will pass on to Diego for the actual technical part of the presentation.
Yep, thanks, Max, for the introduction. Also, please don't bother pronouncing my last name. Even people in Switzerland have troubles with that. So moving forward, quite a few things have already been talked about by me 2 years ago, and also I think by Andreas last year. So just a quick wrap up what has happened so far and was discussed. So we will have multiple data interfaces in the future, also with the old ones. So FileWriter and Stream, the original ones will still be available, and also FileWriter 2 and Stream 2 will be the new addition. So to not keep you bored with all the details, I will kind of skip through what Stream 2 will look like, and then just give you a quick update on the current state of both new interfaces, and also some open questions, which then maybe can be discussed later at the discussion session at the end of this workshop. To keep on moving forward, Stream 2 will be based in CRMQ. This was also based on the feedback we've gotten 2 years ago, the HDRMX meeting at Diamond. And also the metadata as desired can be defined, how many you get. Metadata will be compressed as good as possible. Certainly this won't be possible for all the metadata. However, wherever possible, we will do that. The images will be distributed round robin principle, as probably also mentioned by Andreas already last year. There will be a new data format being used, which is CBER, which allows us for having a single, basically, data file instead of having to chunk them up into multiple JSON and image blobs. This will certainly support multi-threshold data, which is basically the whole idea about Stream 2, why we even started doing that. What's the current state? So by now we have implemented the first draft, which really should be understood as such. We will very soon begin contacting a few selected people for, let's call it closed alpha testing. This will involve people from Diamond, ESRF, PSI, and also APS. If you feel like you would be really interested into joining alpha testing, please let me know. But also please understand that we're not able to serve everybody with this version, as it has a quite administration overhead. Nonetheless, please feel free to write me an email if you would like to join there. A bit more about Stream 2. The documentation, but also examples, will be available on GitHub. Currently, it's a private repository. However, once we are further, maybe in a better state or even shortly before the release, this will be made public. Currently, the examples are written in Python, which is a really simplistic example, but also C, which can be more understood as a small library, more or less. The images or the messages that are sent through Stream 2 are basically the threefold. They're start messages with all the metadata contained, also based on the configuration, which you can see on the bottom left. Just a quick overview how this will look like. Certainly also the names will be as close as possible to the gold standard, which was defined to make things easier and keep it consistent. Then the next message is basically the image message. And contrary to Stream 1, this will be now, as mentioned, a single message containing all the metadata assigned to the image itself, but also the image data for all the different channels. And the channels in this case are the different thresholds that are configured, and also some extra options that you can choose from, like difference images and so on. Jumping to FileWriter 2, current state, we have now started getting to know the gold standard and its differences to basically the standard we have been using for the past few years with Iker 1 or with FileWriter 1. We will use the latest at the release date HDF5 version, and for sure also the Nexus definition, which will be available. We also plan to update, contrary to, as you have known with Iker 1, contrary to Iker 1, we will also update the Nexus standards following the release cycle that we have. Currently, as already talked about and discussed, and everybody has this issue, it's quite unclear to us how exactly we will handle the high-speed issues. So with our fastest detector, the Iker 2 XE system, we're currently not unable to write all the files at the maximum frame rate. So this certainly needs some investigation and also programming skills, I guess, to handle those data sets. Idea was a virtual data sets, or just straight up implementing our own solution to write the files in parallel, which also reducing chunk size for sure is an option. So far, we do not know how exactly we'll achieve writing the files. However, this will be handled in the next few weeks and probably months, until we will also, launch a beta testing for the FileWriter 2. Other points that are currently unclear, questions that popped up during reading the gold standard is like, best way to clarify the open questions. Currently, we don't really understand how we should and where we should point the questions at. So our easiest probably would be to use GitHub Nexus definitions issue system, but I'm not sure if this remains true for all the questions we're having. I guess we could use the discussion session at the end of the workshop again to maybe clarify some of the questions. Then how do we handle the multi-threshold representation? So different images for different thresholds. Also, we have difference images. which don't have a real clear link to a threshold. And it's kind of unclear how we link the information of the metadata to a difference image. For example, difference images won't have a flat field because each threshold has its own metadata, so flat field and pixel mask. So those are currently the biggest open questions. And yeah, I hope we can discuss this later, or at least have a way how to solve those questions at a later point. Then also the FireWriter 2 or implementing GoldStandard has some further fallout, I would like to call it. As Max already mentioned, we'll have to basically update Albula. I mean, as you see, we apparently like the number 2. So Albula 2, as it's currently called internally, becomes a kind of necessity to support the gold standard. And we will use this chance to completely rewrite Albula and also gather new ideas. Some people we have already been in contact with. So also here, if you have any ideas how you want to proceed or feature requests for a new version of Albula, please let us know. Currently, we are still in the planning phase. So which features will be implemented, how will the first version look like? But what's for sure is Albula 2, or however it will be called, will be open source and also then available on our GitHub. So everybody can modify it and use however they feel like in their infrastructure. Last but not least, also NetShell will be affected. As some of you already know, basically the changes we did to FireWriter with Eiger 2 have caused some issues. We addressed those issues quite a while back and updated NetShell to both support the FireWriter 1 standard for Eiger 1, but also for Eiger 2, and will later on also certainly be able to serve gold standard files. Here also the link to the NetShell implementation. This will be actively maintained again. And please, if there are any issues or questions, please contact us there as well. With that, the final part is the overview and what we plan with the different interfaces. As you probably already can see, there's no end in sight for the old interfaces. So Stream and FileWriter will still be available. So far, we have no plans deprecating it. Also due to the fact that we started supporting Eiger 1 systems with the latest software versions. And yeah, with that, also we see FireWriter Stream 2, currently the dashed line, more or less marks the start of the testing. And we expect early next year to have it in a release version. Something similar happens for FileWriter 2. We hopefully have something ready for testing end of this year. And then also we plan to have it available with the first release in next year, probably mid of the year, the release should be ready from the current knowledge we have with those projects that are ongoing. With that, come to an end. So if you have any questions in regards to what has been shown right now, please let me know.
Daniel has applause. Okay. You.
Yeah, no, it was an applause, but it was going to be a question as well. Right, so thank you for that. Look, we are getting an Eiger 16M number 2 XE for our MX3 beamline. Now, you mentioned that the maximum frame rate that you have problems writing out files at that speed, that's the burst rate, right? The 550 hertz.
Actually, it's no longer a burst rate. So with the latest software version, you're able to continuously acquire data at 560 hertz. So far, this frame rate is only available through the Stream interface. With the current FileWriter, we're only able to, I'm not quite sure about the exact numbers, but I think up to 300 hertz, we're able to write data with FileWriter. but everything above is so far only supported by Stream.
Right. I haven't seen a number on that in the current, well, I have a preview of the IGRT 2 specifications. And I was looking for that precise number, as in what is the file rate or maximum frame rate. So yep. Thanks for saying 300. Okay.
So I can check on the data that we have, and I can let you know. Let me quickly write that down so I don't forget.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
So I can follow up on this question.
Your time like this, because I was also having another question about ROI. So I mean, the 16Ms are typically capable of a 4M mode, and I was looking for the frame rate at in 4M mode.
Yeah, the 4M mode is basically just the same frame rate as if you would have bought the 4M. So this is I think 750 hertz, which is unfortunately, even if it's an XE, not that much faster, just due to the cabling and how, yeah, basically the 4M modules are connected.
It's nice. We'll take it.
That's good.
It's very useful. More questions? All right, then I will adopt chair's privilege and comment a little. You mentioned that, you know, reducing the chunk size is an option. When will that option be available?
As mentioned, so far we don't really know how exactly we will solve the issue. But certainly, I guess since we started now with the implementation of FileWriter 2, or at least looking into it in more detail, I would expect by the end of the year we would have some beta or alpha version ready.
Well, the advantage of reducing the chunk size is it invalidates no software.
Mm. I mean, so if all the changes
if you just offered as an option.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we can check that. We certainly will have to run some testing on that. But I guess if this really already helps the or kind of solves the issue we're having right now, I would guess this will also be available then with the current FileWriter and not just FileWriter 2. Because in the end, as you mentioned, this won't change the implementation that much. However, we'll do have some extensive testing on that. I mean, if it doesn't solve the issue at all, at least from writing perspective, I'm not quite sure if this will be the only change and when exactly to expect that.
The place where you'll see an impact is when you increasingly use parallel writing. But the important thing is that if you've done that as your chunk size, that will then encourage on the other side people to adopt the same smaller chunk size. And for processing, it makes a big difference.
Cassie, I will certainly discuss this with the developers and to see if we can implement this sooner and have this option available.
Good. Thank you. More questions?
I have a question.
Go.
So regarding the Alvula 2 and the new rewrite, I'm happy to hear that it will be rewritten and made open source. You mentioned that people will be free, of course, to download and modify it. Leading an open source project also means you have to handle the pull requests. Right. So
yeah, exactly.
Is it part of your plan then to accept modifications and implement them?
So right now, this is not set into stone. So we don't know exactly yet how exactly we want to do it. But certainly if there are modifications, especially, let's say, if there's new features and there's a wide request for those to have it in the standard version, we will certainly also accept pull requests. But in regards to...
I mentioned this.
Sorry?
So continue.
Okay, continue. In regards to your question, right now we're not quite sure how we want to handle this open source project in regards to how many modifications we want to accept. Or if it's more like on the user side or to basically maintain their changes, especially if it's like, let's say, synchrotron specific. Then I don't think it makes sense to have this in a base version, included in the base version and basically bloat up the software.
Agree. Yes. I mean, it would be great to have a place where we can send them your suggestions and discuss requirements. Mm-hmm. Why I mentioned this is that in the past, software has been made sort of freely available, and lots of different versions of the software appeared. Yeah. And this, of course, then led to fragmentation. And so this is why I say, if I agree with you that you don't want to include every single minor customization from Synchrotron side, but it would be nice if fixes and feature requests are implemented, as long as they don't break other things, right? Because otherwise it might lead to fragmentation. Yeah.
I totally agree with you. Also, I have to say we made quite some mistakes, for example, with Netcha. It was widely, let's say, somewhat ignored, the issues and fixes that we had, or the issues and pull requests that we had. And I would like to say that we have learned from that, and we totally think this is not the acceptable way. Especially since how you said this leads to fragmentation, and that's also something we don't really want to happen, because in the end, it's called Netcha, and people know it's from us, and we also don't want to give support for changed software in the end. But yeah, I agree. That's a huge responsibility that we will have with having everything freely available and open source, and. We'd like to take up this challenge and certainly improve the ways we have been handling those things in the past.
I'm very happy to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you too. Robert, you're muted.
I want to thank you too. That is absolutely the right thing to do. And I'll point out that each synchrotron could make its own fork if it wanted. And then you could still retain complete control over what you adopt from those forks. The process of a pull request against a fork is very much the same as the process of a pull request against a branch, and basically allows the synchrotrons to pursue whatever development they want, and for then you to serve as the filter for what gets you into the commercial version.
I agree. Thank you for pointing that out.
More questions? All right. The next thing on our agenda is a break. That break will end at a time that varies between 10:15 and in Prague and 5:15 here. Okay. I'm going to stop the recording during the break. So if people want to use the channel here for a discussion that is not recorded, you are welcome to do so. Okay, so you'll have this available. Unless somebody objects, I'm stopping the recording now.